Thank you for joining us for this Trinity podcast. My name is Marty Reardon, and I'm the worship pastor here at Trinity. And today I'm sitting with Tripp Prince, our education pastor. And today we want to talk to you about All Saints Day. So Tripp, what is All Saints Day? Why do we celebrate it?
Thanks, Marty. All Saints Day is a part of the bigger picture of what we call the liturgical year. Liturgical year, most commonly we enter into that through things like Advent and Christmas and Epiphany, Lent and Easter, Pentecost and Ordinary Time, which is what we're in right now. But within that big cycle, there's smaller cycles within the liturgical year, and one of them is what they call the cycle of saints. And so within that cycle, you have days that are set apart to remember saints. And then All Saints Day is, as the name implies, a day when we remember all saints. But maybe to make sense of it, we should ask, what is a saint? I think that's kind of a foundational question right. We can ask. And so saint literally just means to be sanctified or to be made holy. St. Paul talks a lot about that Christians are called to be saints. What's interesting there is he doesn't say all Christians by default are saints, but that they're called to be saints, that there's this opportunity to grow into the holiness of God, to grow into who we're called to be. And so the church over time started to recognize people who had so beautifully lived into that calling that they wanted to be remembered for the whole of the history of the church as a witness to this is the kind of life that we all should aspire to. And so that's where we get saints' days, where these kind of exemplary people are set apart to be remembered. So a common one we all kind of know culturally is St. Patrick's Day. But more than just being an Irish celebration of Irish culture, that's actually a part of this cycle of saints. But by the time we get to the end of Ordinary Time, or close to it, we hit this day called All Saints Day. And like we've said, this is kind of an emphasis on all of the saints, and not just those who've been named and set apart as saints, as though it's a part of their title of their name.
Right.
But saints reminding that this is everyone who has lived into that calling that Christ gives to us to be conformed to his likeness.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, we talk quite a bit about being connected to the larger context, the larger body of Christ. One of the ways that we embody that is through the reading of the Book of Common Prayer, whether it's the daily office readings or our Sunday lectionaries. Those remind us that we're connected to the larger church, the global church. The same text that we're reading on any given day could be read halfway around the world by our brothers and sisters. And so that keeps us connected. But then this All Saints Day is a wonderful way to help remind us that we're also connected to those who've gone on before us. You were telling me earlier about visiting even a cathedral in England that you were in periodically, and share about that if you would.
Yeah, just a few weeks ago, I was able to be in London and visited St. Paul's Cathedral. Went down into the crypt, which is kind of the space under the church where traditionally people are buried. And there in the crypt, the tombstones are in the walls, and people are buried in niches in the walls, but also tombs under your foot. And so you can actually step on these tombstones. And so many of them are weathered, where you can barely even read names or dates on it. But one of them stood out to me. Couldn't even see the names from the 1700s. But wow. You could see it was dedicated from a grieving husband who was mourning the loss of his wife. And it said she was buried in the sure and the certain hope of the resurrection. And it just stood out to me for two reasons. One is there's so much contained in those few words of people that history has almost entirely forgotten. So these are this great cloud of witnesses, not just the witnesses we know, but really the people that tie our stories together. Right. Because the story of faith isn't just those great heroes, the once in a generation figures.
Right.
But really the nameless, faceless people who are forgotten to history, but in their day, with the grief and the loss and the sorrow that they encountered, still in their own context found, how do I live out a faithful Christian life, and how do I follow Christ? And so that tombstone for me was kind of this picture of someone that history has forgotten, but actually we're joined to because they, just like us, lived boldly in the hope of the resurrection. And I think that's so much of what All Saints is about. How do we, in our present grief and in our present sorrow and loss, still cling to that hope of resurrection?
That's so good. Yeah, it seems that we in our culture, we've kind of sterilized the grief process by most churches now don't have cemeteries connected to them. And what a gift to be able to worship around tombs and around grave sites to remember that we're actually worshiping with them and connected to them, which reminds me of what G.K. Chesterton said, which is we need to extend a vote to the graveyard, the cemetery, meaning those people we're connected to. We can't just live in isolation in the here and now, but remember that they've gone on before us.
Another example we were talking about earlier, I remember years ago going to Rome and going down into the catacombs, which you can still visit, where Christians were buried. And in those catacombs, you find spaces where still they've are uncovered chapels, places where Christians, surrounded by the loss of their loved ones, gathered to worship. And it was just this beautiful image of the living and the dead together worshiping the same Lord, and kind of this picture of the hope that we have that those who have died are not lost, but they're safe with the Lord, and they continue to worship and continue to grow deeper into their faith with Christ, just as we long to in our own day.
Yeah, what a beautiful gift. Just looking back at the practices of the early church, of how they recollected, they remembered those who had gone on before. We tend to not do that as much. Maybe it comes in waves, the grief or loss, but we definitely want to acknowledge that there are those in our own community who are grieving the loss of loved ones, and to, one, be encouraged that we say this at some of our memorial and funeral services here at Trinity, but those who have died, who have gone on, are not past tense. We'd encourage you to continue to refer to them in the present tense, that they are in the presence of the Lord. And the other thing is just to remember that we're praying for you in this season. We get that the holidays are tough, and we acknowledge that. And the real gift of All Saints Day is it gives us a corporate opportunity to pray and grieve together. And I think that's something that we definitely can learn to do better as a culture in the West. So often grief is an isolating event. It's something that we kind of do on our own. And yet, as we have just discussed and as we see through church history, celebrating life and grieving loss together corporately is one of the gifts of being a part of the body of Christ, where if one part of the body is grieving, the whole body grieves with it. To that end, we want to highlight to you the Requiem service that's coming up on November 1st, which is actually All Saints Day this year, and encourage you to consider attending this service. It's a very simple format. We basically have a few worship songs to begin with. We'll have a short reflection and homily on the subject of grief and loss, and then the names of those who have been written in our books of remembrance will be read aloud, and their names will appear on the screen as a way of giving us time and space to process and grieve loss. After that, there is a time of about 30 to 40 minutes of contemplative music where we get to sit together and be quiet, grieve, cry, do what we need to do. If you're in a place in a season where grief is something that you need to really give time to and you want to live into, we'd encourage you to come to the Requiem service. And if you're not in a place where you're grieving loss, we would encourage you to consider attending the service also as a way of coming alongside those who are grieving, those who are processing through loss, and encouraging them. Just as we've kind of seen through church history, one particular part of the body may not be grieving, but we can at least acknowledge the loss of another part of the body and come alongside to encourage and strengthen. So we'd encourage you to come out November 1st. It's at 7:30 p.m. on our East Side location. And Tripp, are there any other resources or things that you would direct people to?
Yeah, just as we wrap up, a few books that I think could be really helpful in both of these areas. For All Saints Day, and really a belief in saints in general, and what do we mean when we talk about the saints departed, N.T. Wright wrote a really helpful book years ago called For All the Saints, and then the subtitle is Remembering the Christian Departed. It's a really accessible introduction to some pretty big themes, and in just a few pages, it's only about 70 pages or so, he unpacks the history of All Saints Day, the ways in which it's been observed, and then really dives into how can we continue to have this meaningful expression in our own communities of this belief that we're a part of a great cloud of witnesses that have gone on before us. As for grief, there's many books that we can read. I'll just mention a couple that have been helpful to members in our community. One all-time classic is a book called A Grief Observed by C.S. Lewis.
Right, it's a good one.
It's a great resource, maybe a good place to start if you're in a place of grief or loss this season. And then two others. One is Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering by Tim Keller. And then one other one is a book called Tear Soup. And this especially has been a great resource and comfort to many people here in our Trinity community. So Tear Soup is a book subtitled A Recipe for Healing After Loss by Pat Swibert.
Very good, very good. And we also want to encourage you, if you need help learning how to take steps in processing through grief, please reach out to us pastors here on staff. We want to come alongside you and help you as we're able. So please feel no hesitation to do that if you need. And Tripp, what else you got?
Just to that end, the pastoral care team is a great resource as well.
That's
and so
right.
If you are in church on the west side or the east side, you'll see a pastoral care card. Or you can go to our website, ATL Trinity, and then there's a form you can fill out there if you'd like to take a first step towards having a meaningful conversation about grief and loss and how to find healing. I really would recommend the pastoral care team as well.
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. We hope it has been encouraging to you. And if you have any questions regarding anything Trinity-related, please feel free to visit us online at atltrinity.org. God bless.